Welcome to episode 3 of Morning Comes to Comfort.
Dr. White has just fallen asleep in his easy chair with half a glass of scotch in his hand. He is awakened when his cell phone rings. His emergency cell phone.
Hello?
It's me, Dr. White. Annie Miller? I think the baby is coming. The contractions are...
Okay. Try to relax. Let's see. It's almost 11 o'clock right now, and delivering a baby can take hours. Let me grab my bag, and I'll come over to your trailer. 20 minutes, okay?
Thank you, Doctor. Do you think it might happen after midnight? If she's born on the 15th, Maggie will knit her some booties.
Well, let's hope so, then. Goodbye, Annalie.
The good doctor ends his call, finishes his scotch, and stands up to leave. Franny is having a hard night. She has been lying in bed for hours, but she can't sleep. Someone, somewhere in comfort, is playing music. She tosses and turns and becomes ever more aggravated. Somehow, she knows the music is coming from Maple Street. She also knows that she will not be able to fall asleep until it stops.
Hello, Frank. This is Franny, and I need the sheriff. I am calling you on my cell phone. I know it's late, but call me back as soon as you get this. It's an emergency.
And then, this happened.
Frank, it's Franny again. I really wish you would call me back. I'm on my cell phone, in my car. I'm parked up on the hill. From where I am, I can see right down on those Maple Street kids. They are making a lot of noise, and it looks like they're performing some kind of satanic ritual. You know how everyone was wondering why they bought that small house on Elm Street? Well, I know why. The backyards connect. They're all down there in the backyards, and they're dancing around a fire like devils. I'm sure you can hear them. Everyone in town can hear them. Some of them are naked. They're just wearing paint instead of clothes. I'm looking at Katie Lynn's blue and red breasts right now. The mayor is down there, Frank. His chest is painted red and he's dancing by the fire. Oh my God. No, Amy May, your daughter is down there with them. She's not wearing anything either. She is painted black and blue. Oh, thank God. She's wearing panties.
Mailbox full.
She looks possessed.
Annie Lee is in her trailer with the doctor and her mom. Her new perfect baby is wrapped in a blanket and is sleeping in her arms.
Oh my God, Doc. She's so beautiful.
She is just fine. Well, let's fill this out and I can leave you ladies to it. Do you know her name?
Leanne. Leanne Kirsten Miller.
That's nice.
Was she born on the 15th?
Yes, you'll get those booties. Let's see, it's been the 15th for 3 hours now.
Dr. White looks over at Annie Lee's mother, the new grandmother. He has a flashback to the night when he delivered Annie Lee all those years ago. He wonders if she is thinking about that same night.
Hey, Doc, you know what I was just thinking about?
What's that?
Remember that joke about the frog and the toad?
Sure.
That's a good one.
Morning Comes to Comfort. We'll return after this important message.
EggMurders.com is the place to go to find out about Egg Murders Productions. Watch a streaming movie like Flicker or The Faithful and the Foul. Download your favorite rock and roll science fiction musical, Psycho Betty's from Planet Pussycat. You can listen to music or find out about upcoming productions. It's all free and there are no ads. You can't like us on Facebook, and you can't follow us on Twitter. EggMurders.com is your one stop for all things Egg Murders. Egg Murders. Part of your brain belongs to us now.
What's up, y'all? It's Katie Huska.
Welcome back to Morning Comes to Comfort. Morning comes to comfort. The sun is high. The birds are singing. There is a long line of cars at the new gas station. The sheriff stands outside of the Maple House, banging on the front door. T.S. opens the front door. T.S. looks like he is in his mid-20s. He's wearing women's running shorts and nothing else. His dyed black hair is cropped short, but still manages to look slept on. He has the remnants of blue and yellow grease paint on his face and chest.
What?
So sorry to wake you up so early, but I need to come inside your house.
Nope.
For the first time in his life, Frank points to the sheriff's badge on his chest as he speaks, not knowing whether he is using it for validation or as a talisman that will protect him from evil.
I'm the sheriff of this town.
And I do not consent to any searches.
Just get out of my way.
Nope, not without a warrant.
What, are you a lawyer?
Yes.
You're a lawyer.
Yes.
The two men stare at each other, sizing each other up.
What are you going to do if I don't have a warrant, but I go in there anyway?
At the very least, I'll have your job.
Listen, can I just talk to you man to man?
Sure-y-o, daddy-o.
I think my daughter is in your house. I just want to talk to her.
Which one is your daughter?
Frank grits his teeth as he tries to conceal his growing anger.
Amy May.
Did you know that you named your daughter a complete sentence?
Frank stares at T.S.
Subject and predicate, Amy May.
Again, Frank just stares.
Fine, Mr. Silly Socks, wait here. I'll go see if she wants to talk to you.
Frank stands on the wrong side of a closed door. He sees that Franny is calling him on his cell phone. He pushes the button that sends her call immediately to voicemail.
Damn it!
Frank looks down at his phone and readies himself to say something rude to Franny. But it's not Franny calling this time. Maggie is calling.
Hello?
Hey, Frank, you busy?
A little bit. I'm trying to get Amy May home. What is it?
I'm afraid it's bad news. Dr. White just called. He's over there at Bob's house. It looks like there's been some kind of accident.
What kind of accident?
I'm sorry, I'm trying to tell you, but it's not easy. Bob's dead.
What? The mayor? How? What happened?
Well, Doc doesn't know. That's why he needs you, I suspect. The doctor is at Bob's house now. His wife found Bob in the bathtub. It's bad, Frank.
Jeez.
It's a real mess. I'm so sorry.
Okay, I guess I'll head over there now. Maggie, can you look up the charter and see what happens when our mayor can't finish his term?
I already know. The deputy mayor becomes mayor.
That's you.
That's me.
Well, I'll let you know what I find out after I talk to the doctor.
Goodbye, Sheriff.
Goodbye, Mayor.
Frank turns to his car. The sheriff starts his car and looks back at the Maple House. His daughter is standing in the doorway, shielding her eyes from the sunlight. She's bleached hair and some kind of paint all over her. She's only wearing panties and a man's shirt. Frank drives away. A car pulls into Johnny's gas station. Johnny's head jolts to the window. He watches as the car full of former customers pulls through his lot and drives across Main Street to that other gas station. Johnny's attention goes back to what he was working on before. There is a bottle of whiskey and a glass in front of him. He has a rope in his hands. Down in the basement of the Maple House, several young people are in various stages of dress and relaxation. Among them are Holly and Malcolm. Malcolm is playing an acoustic guitar.
Hey, I like that bit. What are you working on?
I need some new stuff for Aaron's movie, but not completely inspired yet. Want to sing one for me?
Ugh, I don't know. I think I might have had a few too many drinks last night.
Ah, me too. I think that's why I can't find my inspiration.
I drank my inspiration.
How about a slow one?
Yeah. Do that church one.
Church one? Oh, you mean this.
The doctor and the sheriff stare down at Bob's naked, submerged, dead body. He has grease paint all over his chest and a faraway look in his eyes.
As best as I can figure it, he must have had a heart attack or something. Then slipped under the water and drowned.
Poor guy.
Trouble is, it could have been a lot of things. I know he was out at Amy May's birthday party last night. Whooping it up with a bunch of 20-year-olds. Maybe he took drugs. Maybe he was given drugs. That would explain a lot, but I'm not set up to do that kind of autopsy.
Murder.
I don't want to rule it out. I don't want to rule out anything.
Just tell me what you need me to do.
Well, I can call the hospital in Las Cruces, maybe get him the autopsy we need. But there will be an investigation. City police. That's part of the reason I wanted to talk to you first.
Yeah, do it. Whatever you need to do. If those Maple kids had a part in killing our mayor, there's going to be serious hell to pay.
You sure about that?
Hell yes.
Okay, then. There's just one more thing I need. I don't think we should leave him in the tub. I want you to help me pull him out and cover him up on the bed.
Won't that affect the autopsy?
No. Not if it's drugs.
Okay, let's do it.
I tried to do it myself earlier. I couldn't lift him. It was horrible.
Sure, Doc. Why don't I get the head and you get the feet?
Morning Comes to Comfort. We'll return after this important message.
Beady, 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 beady. This just in as the war drums beat in Kitty Cat Island. In Albuquerque, New Mexico, Comedy Question Mark takes the town by storm. Every Friday night, Comedy Question Mark has a full hour of sketch, improv, and then they do this weird Russian nesting doll thing where they climb inside of each other's skin. It's really great. 10:30 p.m., only $6. Come over, friends. Go to facebook.com/comedyqmark for more information.
Welcome back to Morning Comes to Comfort. Evening comes to the Maple House. Jed is sitting on the edge of his bed. He's staring at a glass of clear liquid and a series of small white pills scattered on a magazine on his nightstand. Amy May walks down the hall and stops at his doorway. She watches him.
Are you okay?
I'm working on it.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to find the motivation to take a couple of these.
Amy May now steps inside of his room. She sits next to him on the bed.
What do these pills do?
All they do is make you feel better.
Speed?
No. They're very mellow. You want some?
I don't know.
Jed takes two pills, pops them in his mouth, and chases them down with a drink from the glass.
That's better.
Maybe I could have just one?
Help yourself.
Amy May moves with deliberate trepidation. She takes a pill and stares at it for a moment. Before she can make up her mind, she takes a pill, swallows it, and chases it back with a drink from Jed's glass.
Feel better?
I don't feel anything yet.
It might take a little while to kick in.
What is it?
Morphine.
Oh, wow.
You should be feeling a lot better in a few minutes.
Amy May's face reveals some touch of regret for having taken the mysterious pill. Jed has a wicked grin on his face.
Am I gonna be okay?
Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
I've never taken morphine before.
Did I say morphine? I meant aspirin. Plain old over-the-counter aspirin.
What?
You just took half a dose of aspirin.
That wasn't funny.
It was a little bit funny. Come on. Let's go to the kitchen. You shouldn't take aspirin on an empty stomach.
Nighttime comes to Comfort. The day is one that will not be soon forgotten in Comfort, New Mexico. But now the 15th is nearly over. It's 11 p.m. and the streets are empty, except for one man. Johnny has tied down his rope and is swinging the noose over his own gas station sign. He is drunk and mournfully wondering what kind of witchcraft has brought him to this, though he didn't mention anything about witchcraft in his note. He blamed everything on the new residents of Maple and Elm. He stands on a wobbly stool and nearly loses his balance. As he slips the noose around his neck, he morbidly wishes that he had thought to use a better stool. He kicks the stool out behind himself, and instantly regrets it. His legs flail madly while his hands struggle in vain to loosen the rope's grip around his neck. Someone will save me, Johnny thinks. He falls unconscious and slips into death. His body swings from his sign, just a few feet from Main Street.
Thank you for listening to episode 3 of Morning Comes to Comfort. My name is Aaron Hendren. I wrote this. This episode was copyright 2014 by Egg Murders Productions. This episode's cast included Justino Brokaw, Frank Green, Laura Hosek, Barbara Geary, Julie Hendren, Jason Witter, Drew Morrison, Amy Bork, Seruj Bingham, and Evening Star Barrett. The Devil's Always There was written by Aaron Hendren, performed by Aaron Hendren, and sung by Evening Star Barrett. Thank you again for listening. See you next month for episode 4.